So someone may ask, why would we celebrate the disappearance day of someone? Generally, that's a sad day. But actually, for a Vaishnava, to leave his body, it's actually glorious, because the Vaishnava, he goes on to preach elsewhere. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, he reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die while still living in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, spreading the holy name around. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's known as a Shaktivesh avatar, or someone who has descended for the upliftment of people's spiritual lives. So he's a very, very great Vaishnava, as you're going to hear tonight. He was born in 1838 and left this world in 1914. So he was about 76 years old when he left. And he was actually a high court judge in Orissa. In the 30s, he became a 1830s, he became a judge. And, around 1870s or 80s, something like that. So he was also very expert at this. First off, I'd like to say something to you that always astounded me, and that was his schedule. His daily schedule is just unbelievable. He would rise, he would take rest at night at about 8 o'clock, and then he would rise at 10 o'clock. Picture that. 2 hours. Sleep for 2 hours, then he'd write until 4 o'clock in the morning. Imagine that. 2 hours rest, then he'd write for 6 hours. He also wrote about 100 books. So he was a big, big writer. He had a lot of realizations, and he came out in his teachings. And the first literature, Vaishnava literature, that came to the West was sent by him in 1896, the same year that Srila Prabhupada appeared in this world, in Calcutta. And that was the life and teachings, life and precepts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that went to McGill University in Canada. So he had amazing realizations of Krishna consciousness and the devotees. So he let all this out in his writings, wonderful writings. So as Savasprabhu mentioned, he revived the Sankirtan movement. It was practically lost. Because just like now in India, there's so many different spiritual groups, and it's can be very confusing. You know, so it was also like that when Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared. But he found the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he said, from reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I could understand that no one but God can give such teachings. So he preached the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout that area of Orissa and also Navadvip. And he started also, he revived the Namhat. There was thousands of people, or there was little groups of people that were hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. So now, throughout our society also, we have Namhats. So we have some here also. Japataka Swami, he really picked this up, this Namhat. You know, so it's going on around the world. We have a whole ministry, Namhat ministry. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also picked that up. And as Savas also mentioned, he predicted that people would gather from all around the world in Navadvip, and they would chant, Jaya Sachinandana Gaura Hari, Jaya Sachinandana Gaura Hari, Jaya Sachinandana Gaura Hari, Jaya Sachinandana Gaura Hari. So people from China, from Africa, from Europe, all over the world people gather every year in Mayapur and chant the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is all predicted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it's so nice. This is what we call the real United Nations. Like all over the world, there's wars going on, you know, occasionally here and there. But just like they had the Bosnia-Serbia war in Europe a couple of decades ago. But there was temples there also. But the devotees from Bosnia and the devotees from Serbia, they're chanting and dancing together. And all around the country, all elsewhere, they're fighting. But the devotees are chanting and dancing. So this is the real United Nations. Understanding that everybody is the eternal servant of Krishna. So I mentioned to you that he wrote many songs, many poems. So there's one that I especially like, that I memorize, that I like so much. He says, "The flesh is not my own, alas. The mortal frame a chain. The soul confined for former wrongs should try to rise again." Such a sublime statement there in that one stanza. The flesh is not my own. This is not who we are at all. You know, this body is going to die, and we're going to continue. And all the things that we think are ours, our house or a car or computers and all these things, we're going to have to leave them all behind. They're not ours. And we're just borrowing things, right? We should always understand that everything belongs to Krishna. Even this body is not our body. It's Krishna's body. So therefore, we utilize it in the service of Krishna, not in material sense gratification. Because if we do, then this causes more bondage to the material world. Everybody wants to be free, right? Everybody's interested in freedom. So real freedom is the understanding that everything is owned and controlled by Krishna. He is the proprietor. He is the creator. And when we're all the servants, when we understand that we're the servants of Krishna, then we're free. Then we're free to love. Everybody also wants love, right? But this love that everyone's looking for is there between the living entity and between Krishna. And this is how to attain real love, spiritual love. Love is not on the material platform. Just like a man and a woman may be attracted. But on the platform of flesh, there's no real love there. That's lust. Real love is on the spiritual platform. So therefore he also says in another stanza, "So push on thy march, O soul, against an evil deed that stands with lust and hate. A hero be indeed." So these are our enemies actually. Lust and hate, envy, all these things. Kamarinam katina katida padita dorni desas tesam jata mayi nukruna natrapa no pushanti. Rupa Goswami, he says, "For so long I've been the humble, menial servant of many bad masters." And who are those bad masters? Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, madness. These are the enemies that everybody is humbly serving, unfortunately. But our real friend is Krishna. That's our real friend. He's always thinking of our welfare. And therefore he comes. And therefore he sends his pure devotees, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. If Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada had not come, if Krishna had not sent them, we would not all be sitting here now. We wouldn't be chanting Hare Krishna. We wouldn't be taking nice Krishna prasadam. God knows where we would be now. I don't even want to think about where we would be now. It's not a nice thought. This is a nice thought. This is a nice experience here. Krishna consciousness. Yeah, so this is all by the mercy of Krishna and Krishna's pure devotees. So we're very fortunate to be at the shelter, at the feet of such and great Vaishnavas. And then he goes on to say, forget the past that sleeps, nor the future dream at all, but live in times that are with thee, and progress thee shall call. Many people that are living in the past, you know, live on their laurels, you know. Oh, I did this and I did that. This is to live in the mode of ignorance, to live in the past. And some people that are living in the future, they're dreaming, they're hankering for the future. I'm going to get a car, I'm going to get a house, I'm going to get a good position, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that. This is the mode of passion, living in the mode of passion, getting. It's always trying to get things. Mode of goodness means to live in the present, especially to live in thinking of Krishna, always. Therefore, Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. Yeah, so this is the perfection of our thoughts. We have to think of something. And nowadays, in this present society, there's billions of things to think of, practically speaking. So it's difficult to think of God with so much distraction. The age of Kali is bombarded by weapons of mass distraction. So much distraction, unfortunately. So we can stay focused on Krishna by associating with the devotees, by hearing the scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, chanting the holy name. This helps us. These things help us to think of Krishna always. And then he goes on to say, I can't remember it now. Anyway, there's many nice stanzas, many nice poems of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just amazing, beautiful. So there's another instance where in Navadvip, there was a place where people thought Lord Chaitanya had appeared. But there was some question about whether it was the actual place where Lord Chaitanya had appeared. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had heard from others, from saints, that the place where they say is the actual place of Lord Chaitanya's appearance is not, but it's another place. And he heard about that. In this place, there was a lot of tulsi plants. So he took his Siksha Guru, Jagannath Das Babaji, to this place. And Jagannath Das Babaji at this time, he was an invalid, so he was Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was carrying him in a basket. So he took him to this place where these tulsi plants were growing. And as soon as he reached this area, Jagannath Das Babaji, who was an invalid, he jumped up in his basket and he started chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. This is the place of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. So that's why the big temple that Savasarbhu mentioned, that's where the temple is being built right now. This actually, it's about a quarter of a mile just south of this place where the temple, which commemorates the appearance of Lord Chaitanya's appearance, is right there. So that's another great accomplishment of his. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also predicted that a great acharya would appear and he would spread the glories of Krishna throughout the world. And this is still going on throughout the world. I travel all over the world. My service in this society, ISKCON society, is I travel and I try to encourage devotees to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. So I go around the world every year and I see how this movement is growing. More and more temples are coming up and restaurants and devotees are joining. So it's very nice to see how we're growing. Actually, I was speaking to you about his schedule. I don't think I got too far. So he would, I'll go back to his schedule. He would wake up at 10 p.m., then he would write until 4 a.m., then he would rest again for a half hour. Then at 4:30, he would start chanting his japa. Japa means he has his beads, and he would chant. So he would do that for about 2.5 hours. And then at 7 a.m., he answered all his correspondence. People were writing him letters, so he would do correspondence. Then at 7:30, he would read scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and other scriptures. And then at 8:30, he would receive visitors. People would come and they would want to, they would inquire, they would take advice from him. Then at 9:30, he would take another rest, about 15 minutes. Then he would take breakfast. Then at 9:55, he was very punctual. He had this, Hare Krishna. He had this pocket watch, so he was very punctual. Every minute he would do, you know, just very punctual. That's why it's said here. 9:55, he would go to court. And the lawyers and the other British men, they would be amazed that he would go into court, and he would be there from like 10 to 1. And then he would go back to his home, and then from 2 to 5. So he would do about between 30 and 50 cases in this short period of time. And all the other judges, it would take them 4 or 5 times more time to do what he did. So they were just amazed that he was able to do this. They could see that it was done very well. Because he was so Krishna conscious, he knew immediately what was right, what was wrong. Immediately, because he's Krishna conscious. Isn't it? Devotees, you know, it's very easy to know the difference between right and wrong once you read Srila Prabhupada's books, you chant Hare Krishna, you have a connection with Krishna. So he did everything just in an amazing way. So then at 5 o'clock, he would go home, and then he would write. He would write books, and he would write more songs. So that was his whole schedule. Amazing, huh? And this is why he's so famous now throughout the world. This is why he was able to accomplish so much. Because he slept very little. He only slept altogether maybe about 2.5 hours. Amazing. I mean, who here sleeps less than 6 hours in a night? Raise your hand. Two people only sleep less than 6 hours, and he's sleeping 2.5. You can imagine, yeah. So, a very great personality. And he was such a great devotee that there was one devotee who called him the seventh Goswami. Now, some of you may be aware that there's personalities called the six Goswamis, and they were all renunciants, and they lived in Vrindavan, and they wrote many books. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami. So these are great, great devotees that it's described that they lived under a different tree every night. You know, just absorbed in serving Krishna. Some of them are writing books and some of them are reading and just doing various services. But they were homeless. Sometimes we see homeless people and we kind of look down on them, you know, the old homeless person, you know. But these were all homeless people. Jesus Christ was also homeless. Sukadeva Goswami was homeless. So we shouldn't always look down on them. Who knows who they are? So, anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was considered to be like one of the Goswamis, but he was not a renunciant. As Savasarbhu said, he was a householder. He had many children. And he had many duties that he had to perform. But he was completely transcendental. Completely transcendental. Just absorbed in Krishna. and thinking of Krishna and serving Krishna. So we're very, very fortunate to be able to hear of these glories of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And when he was magistrate, there was one instance where, like I said, you know, in India, sometimes there was a lot of people that were confused, and they would sometimes cheat others. Even now, there's people that have some mystic abilities, so they'll take advantage of people. So there's one such person at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur named Bisakha Sen. And he had some mystic abilities. He would put his head directly into fire and then lift his head out and be unharmed. Pretty amazing. Pretty impressive, right? And he would heal people with dangerous diseases, horrible diseases. He would heal them. He could read people's minds. So he was just doing all kinds of... He had long locks of hair. And he would shake his head, and fire would come from his locks of hair. So he was a pretty impressive mystic yogi. And because he was so impressive, many people became his followers, thousands of people. And he claimed to be Mahavishnu, that he was an incarnation of Mahavishnu. So thousands of people were believing him because he had this mystic ability. People were a little kind of simple, so they couldn't grasp that he just had some mystic abilities. And his plan as Mahavishnu was to kill all the British, because at that time it was British rule. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a magistrate under the British rule. So many of the Indians, they didn't like the British there taking advantage of them. They were actually misusing and exploiting the Indians. So his claim was that he was going to kill all the British. So many of the Indians, they really liked this idea. But he was also doing all kinds of nonsense. You know, as many of you know, Krishna, he performed his rasa dance. So Bisakha Sen thought, well, I might as well do my rasa dance too. So many women were coming to him at night, and he was exploiting them. And many responsible gentlemen, they were completely upset about this and reported this to the government. And that's when the government, understanding Bhaktivinoda Thakur's position, strong position, they asked him, we have this person here who's claiming to be Mahavishnu. He wants to kill all the British, and he's exploiting these people, exploiting men's wives, and we want you to stop him. So he went there. And, of course, he had many followers around him. And when he came to Bisakha Sen, Bisakha Sen told him, I know who you are, he said to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I know who you are. I know you're a magistrate. I know you're from Bangladesh. I know everything about you. And I know you've come to stop me, and I know you have soldiers in the forest here, but don't try to stop me. Don't get in my way. I'm Mahavishnu. I can destroy the whole universe. So don't stop me. Don't try to stop me. This was his first meeting with Bisakha Sen. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, you're not Mahavishnu. You have some mystic ability. But I'm not impressed with your mystic abilities, and you should give up such nonsense. You're just a small, individual, soul, eternal servant of Krishna. So you should give up all this nonsense and just serve Krishna. And then he became angry, and he started shaking his head. You know, the sparks are coming from his head. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, I'll return. I'm going to speak to the authorities, and we're going to deal with you. So then that's when he went back and he heard. He didn't know yet about the rasa dance. You know, so then he heard about that, and many other things were coming up about him. So then it was decided that he should be arrested. So he went back, and he brought with him 100 soldiers, because he had big followers. He had a lot of followers and stuff. So he brought 100 soldiers and went there, and And when all the followers, they saw all the soldiers with guns and everything, some of them got very scared, so they ran away. So something's going to happen here. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he went to him and said, because of your exploiting women and making this false claim that you're Mahavishnu and doing so much nonsense, we're going to arrest you, we're going to take you. So he became angry, of course. And he started shaking his head, and he told them, if you take me, then you find out what will happen to you. You know, don't mess with me, don't take me. Don't try to take me. You know. So then they got a bullock cart, and they put him on this bullock cart. And he said, I'm only going because you are my devotee, and I don't want my devotee's word to go in vain. So he's a pretty bogus guy. So they took him to jail. And thousands of people were outside the prison there, and they're protesting. And the trial is going on. The trial went on for about 18 days. But after 14 days, the yogi said, if you don't let me go, see what happens at your home. So that night he went to his home, and his daughter had a horrible disease, terrible fever, and it looked like she was even going to leave her body to die. But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he called over an Ayurvedic physician, and by early morning she was up okay and playing again. So the Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife became very worried that this person, he can kill all our family. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur had such determination. He said, I don't care if our whole family dies. This person has to be brought to justice. You can see how selfless, so much integrity he had. Doesn't matter what happens. This person is cheating the people. You know, he has to be brought to justice. Incredible integrity. So then the trial continued. And then he told Bhaktivinoda Thakur on the 17th day, you see what's going to happen tonight. Because of your offenses to me, you see what's going to happen. And that night, he felt a very sharp pain in the area of his heart, right-hand side of his heart. And it got worse and worse, and he was bedridden. And the next morning, he was supposed to give the judgment of the trial. But he was so weak, but still determined. So he told his servants, put me in a palanquin. So he was brought in a palanquin to the courthouse, and he gave the judgment. He couldn't even sit up practically, that he was found guilty. And then he was brought away, and then one Britishman, actually, who was a doctor there, and he heard that sometimes yogis, they keep their power in their locks of hair. So he jumped on the man, and he had some big scissors, and he cut the locks of hair off Bisakha Sen. And immediately, Bhaktivinoda Thakur became healthy. Immediately. And then he also became weak. And Bisakha Sen became very weak. So then the followers, they became disillusioned, and he lost a lot of his followers. So he was sentenced to 18 months in prison. But after 3 months, he took poison, committed suicide. So this is the power of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I mean, this mystic yogi was very powerful. I mean, had Bhaktivinoda Thakur not been there to stop this person, who knows what would have just gone on and on. So he's a very, very powerful personality. One of that other stanza that I wanted to remember. Why then is childish play, and that which is not our own, which falls within 100 years, as if a rose were blown? So we become very attached to the things that we have in this world, but everything is going to be lost in a short time. Just like, let's say you live to be 100 years old. Now that's nothing. That's nothing. You think of how we're eternal beings. We're eternal souls. You know, this life is just very, very small. So therefore, it's very important that we utilize our time in understanding who we are and in understanding who Krishna is and trying to develop our relationship with Krishna. This was the mission of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's known as Paradukaduki. When he sees others suffering, he gives pain. So therefore, he prayed for a ray of Vishnu. So I think it was the fifth son. This was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He understood that the ray of Vishnu had taken birth when he heard that the umbilical cord was wrapped around his body like a Brahman thread. It's pretty amazing. And also, the Jagannath, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he used to live in Jagannath Puri. So he was also in charge of the worship there. So there was a lot of nonsense going on there, a lot of questionable activities. So he cleaned it all up, made everything very punctual, very clean, and very, very pukka. So during Rath Yatra one day, they have yearly Rath Yatra. I think it's going to come up pretty soon, maybe in the next month or this month, something like that. So there was a Rath Yatra taking place. It went right in front of his house. So the Rath Yatra, Jagannath's cart stopped right in front of his house. And it wouldn't move. They couldn't move it. You know, this is one of Jagannath's pastimes, is that sometimes Jagannath wouldn't move. Just like during when Lord Chaitanya was here, they had elephants pulling the cart and they couldn't move it. You know, big, strong men and elephants, they wouldn't move. But Lord Chaitanya just put his head on the cart and it started moving. And the devotees were just holding the ropes in their hands and the cart was moving mystically. So the cart stopped right there in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's in front of his house, and they couldn't move it. For like 3 days, they couldn't move the cart. And then they brought Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bimala Prasad, there in front of the cart, and immediately the garland off Lord Jagannath, it fell on to Bimala Prasad, or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that confirmed that this is the ray of Vishnu. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he memorized the whole Bhagavad Gita at the age of 7 years. And he could even give discourse on it. So this was the ray of Vishnu that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted. Because this is what was needed to uplift people's spiritual life. And it was because of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that Srila Prabhupada came. Srila Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur the first time. And what does Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur tell him to do? Go to the West and preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Amazing. So many mystical things happen with these great personalities. And we're so fortunate because it wasn't that long ago, actually, that they were all here. So now we're deriving the benefit of their appearance and teachings. So maybe I'll stop there. Is there any question or comment by anybody about Bhaktivinoda Thakur or anything? Yes. How he left his body. It's interesting how he left his body. He was 76 years old when he left, but the last 4 years of his life, he pretty much just went into samadhi. He was just hearing and chanting, and this was in Jagannath Puri. I think it was in Jagannath Puri where his samadhi is. So he was just hearing and chanting the last 4 years of his life. He was just doing nothing else but hearing and chanting, preparing. Of course, he's a pure devotee of Krishna. He could leave in any circumstance. But he's being a good example. So we should also prepare. It's going to happen. Actually, every day, anybody have any idea how many people die every day on this planet? Anybody have any idea? Much more. About 60,000 people every day. Actually more. So a lot of people die every day. And most people are dying and they're not ready. So better to be ready, to leave our body. So being ready means to think of Krishna. To chant Hare Krishna, to read Srila Prabhupada's books. Whatever we're thinking of, that's what we're attached to. So the more we hear and chant the glories of Krishna, the more we get purified, and the more we want to serve Krishna, the more we want to please Krishna. And then we go back to Krishna. These acharyas come to teach us how to go back to the spiritual world. So we should take advantage of their teachings. Our mind and our senses are pulling us different directions. But with our intelligence, we should understand the best thing for us, for all of us, is to engage in devotional service. Someone may ask, well, what does that mean, devotional service? What we're doing right here, we're hearing the glories of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, great acharya. This is devotional service. To take Krishna prasadam is also devotional service. To hear the glories of Krishna, to chant the glories of Krishna, to remember Krishna, this is also devotional service. To worship Krishna. So there's so many ways to serve Krishna. So somehow we have to use our intelligence and focus our life in the service of Krishna. Any other question or comment? Yes, Mataji. Thank you. Any reason why he didn't take from... Actually, one of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's sons did take initiation from him. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he saw that this... it's slipping my mind now. What's the spiritual master's name? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? Gorkhasar Das Babaji, yes. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had a special relationship with Gorkhasar Das Babaji. And he was, they actually were Shiksha gurus to each other, pretty much. So he had a lot of faith in Gorkhasar Das Babaji. So he wanted him to take initiation from him. And it turns out that that was a good choice. Because extremely exalted devotee and very humble. He wanted to, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he went to him and asked for initiation, but he said, no, I can't give initiation to you. You're such a great scholar and I'm practically illiterate. I can't even. And he didn't have any disciples. He didn't want to have any disciples. But because it was instructed to him by his father, he was determined. And he said to him, if you don't give me initiation, then I'm going to take my life. He was so determined. He had that same determination as Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So then he said, all right, I'll give you. initiation. So he was also a great, you know, it's amazing. All four of these personalities were on the planet at the same time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Srila Prabhupada, at the same time. Amazing. So, because he had great faith in Gaurakishore Das Babaji. Did I see another hand over there? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.